Late night, Graham Torrington. I'm here until 1 o'clock tonight. Known as a boxing manager and promoter, Kelly hit the headlines last August when it was announced that Frank Maloney was now known as Kelly and was to undergo gender reassignment. This may have come as a bit of a shock to many people, but these days people seem to be far more understanding of people who consider themselves to be transgender. Tonight, Kelly joins me on my show to tell her story and maybe make just a few more people understand what it's like to be transgender. And it's no secret that Kelly has just published her book called But Frankly, Kelly. And I'm sure we'll talk about that during the course of our chat. And I'd like to welcome Kelly onto the programme tonight. Hi, Kelly.
Hello there, Graham. How are you?
Very good. Thanks very much for joining me on the programme tonight. So I'm kind of thinking it's been a bit of a roller coaster ride for you over the last 12 months, yes?
Yes, it's been like living in a crawfish bowl, but, you know, it's helped me, it's helped my family, and I hope it's helped other people that have gone through the same or are going through what I went through, and it's helped, I hope it's helped sort of educate and get other people to understand that transsexuals are just normal human beings who have this, you know, I say complaint or condition, but I get told it's not a condition or it's not a complaint. But I try to keep everything very simple. So I, you know, because even today, what I've been through, the counselling I've had, I still don't fully understand why the gender issue picked on me. It just shows you, or come to that, why Caitlyn Jenner, who was an Olympic gold medalist, you know, it just shows you, it has no boundary, and it doesn't pick or choose who. And if it's you, there's nothing you can do about it except for accept it and come to terms with it, and complete your journey or fight it like I tried to, and live a miserable, depressive life and making people unhappy around you.
Well, we'll talk about more about that in just a moment, but can you remember just before you came out about what you were expecting? Pretty nervous times for you.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I was prepared for the worst. I never wanted to go public. I wanted to transition very privately because, you know, the most successful transsexuals are the ones that have transitioned very privately and live a normal, happy life in their chosen gender. For me, as I said, I live in a goldfish bowl, so everything I do is constantly monitored by press and made aware of it.
So you wanted to come out rather than be outed by the press, is that what you're saying?
I wanted to transition privately. I had a plan A, which was that I was going to transition privately. I'd moved out of my boxing business. I'd closed down my Twitter account, my Facebook account, my website, and I took myself out of public life, and I was living a private life for 2 years before a newspaper knocks on my door to tell me that they had pictures of me and they'd been following me and they had proof that I was living an alternative lifestyle as a female. And obviously I didn't want that to happen. My lawyers went into action and they managed to stop the paper from printing. 6 weeks later, another paper knocked on my door with the same tactics. Once again, the legal team went into action and it was stopped. And eventually, my lawyer said, Kelly, we can't keep doing this because it costs you a fortune. Eventually, it's going to come out. We have to sit down and either work with a newspaper or release a press statement. And we found a paper that was very friendly and very understanding and supporting and was willing to give me editorial rights, picture rights, headline rights and terminology rights. So
looking back on that now, when it was actually in the press, with you guiding it along, if you like, were you happy with what the course of action then took?
I was happy with the article because it was my words, it was right terminology was used, because the head of my support group, which is TG Powell, monitored and read everything to make sure it was the, you know, all the right terminology was used. Because one doesn't change one's sex, you know, you can't change one's sex, you change your gender. And the points were made, it wasn't about my sex allergy. It was about my gender.
I understand that you've now just recently completed your gender reassignments. And are you happy with the way things are now?
Yes, yeah, I'm very happy. I'm very contented. I live as near as normal life as I can live, and I'm enjoying life. My children, though they've struggled, and I still think they have moments when they struggle and they have a downside about it all. They say that I'm a much nicer person to be around. I'm a much happier person, and I'm a much more contented person.
Let's go back a few years when I'm kind of guessing things were a little bit more difficult for you. When did you first think things were different for you?
I knew from about the age of 3 that I was very different. I felt different. I didn't know what it was, and I had no idea until sometime in the 60s when I read an article by April Ashley, who was probably the first person in this country to change gender, and how she lost everything. And at that time, there was obviously no laws to protect her. She had married. She hadn't told the person, or the papers claim she hadn't told the person. The marriage was null and void, and she lost everything. She was totally destroyed by the papers, lost her career as a model, as an actress. And I read about her, and I realised, I said, my God, this is me. I had the same symptoms. I've been feeling the same way all my life. This is what I am. I am a transsexual.
Hmm. At that point, did you think that you could do anything about it, having read that article?
No, I wanted, because of what happened to her, I was determined I would never declare I was a transsexual. I would never publicly admit to it, and I would fight it as much as I could.
You did start a career as a boxing promoter and manager alongside Frank Warren during the 70s, and also being a boxer yourself. Do you think that was a conscious decision by yourself to actually ignore what you were and try and prove something else?
Well, I wasn't. I was a failure at school. I left school at 15 without any qualifications. You know, I never liked school, and I did badly with dyslexia. And I just walked out of school towards the end of my 15th birthday. I didn't know what I was going to do. I enjoyed sport. It was one of the only things I'd done. I enjoyed sports, photography, and domestic science at school. So I just drifted into the boxing. It was something I felt I was able to do. It was something I didn't need the help and support of anyone, because it's an individual sport. And
by the 80s, though, you'd become very successful. Even the likes of Lennox Lewis, manager in 89. Have you had much contact with people from that era recently?
Yes, I have, actually. I get quite a bit of contact from people in boxing. Some can't accept it, I'll be honest, not everyone. I'd tell a lie if I said that the garden was as rosy as it was. It's not. There's still, certain boxing forums. I wouldn't like my children to read what's on there about me.
What sort of things are they saying?
They're just not nice things. You know, they're remarks about parts of my body missing, about being gay, about being homosexual.
How do you feel, Kelly, when you read that stuff?
Do you know what? I put it down to ignorance, to bigots and to uneducated people.
But it hurts.
No, it doesn't hurt, because words can't hurt me. You know, words cannot hurt me. Today, they're written today. These people have no lives, no social skills. They're the ones who have the problems. I haven't got a problem. I'm facing my troubles, and I'm out there in the world. I'm not hiding behind a keyboard. But these people would never be able to say it to my face.
And Tracy, your former wife, she's been very supportive, I believe.
Yes, she's been very helpful. You know, that was probably the hardest part of my journey. I would say the hardest loss in my life, because I lost a person that was closest to